and that we'll just wear this building out. But you know, there's more to life than what I've experienced. I've gone to church conferences. And I like to go to church conferences where they're big churches. Because they expand your thinking. You realize there's more to church than what we do. See, most people think that the way to do church is the way that we've always done church. That's called small thinking. Throughout the world, there are churches who are doing awesome things. And the reason that they're doing awesome things is because their thinking is large. When we get into some large thinking, we can do some things for the kingdom of God. And see, I'm not talking about ego stuff. And I'm not talking about becoming a big preacher and being on television. I don't want to be on television. That's not what it's all about. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about His kingdom. It's about His... There are people out there today who are hurting. They're hurting. They're on drugs. Somebody got beat up last night. Somebody got raped. Somebody's spouse left them. Somebody lost a child. They hurt. And as long as there's hurting people out there, there's a place for us in our society to bring the kingdom of God. I wonder how many girls there are out there like these four sitting on the front row. Five. Hundreds. Thousands. Millions. There needs to be bodies of Christ, congregations, churches that are reaching out to hurting people. God is about people. And that's what we need to be about. We need to be about people also. So life is bigger than what you and I have experienced. I don't care how experienced you are. There is more out there than you've ever experienced. What we like is the security of the boxes that we build. The things that frame our world that makes us feel secure. And that's good and bad. But the bad part of that is that many times we only see inside our box. This is our church box. We have church. No, we don't have church. We do have church, but we are church. We are the church. So, there's more to life. It's bigger than what we have experienced. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know what a hope is? It's a confident expectation. A hope is something that has not yet happened yet. Have you ever noticed that God is about increase? How many of you planted a garden this year? See you. See who I need to go see. Gardens, you planted gardens this year. When you plant a garden, do you expect increase? Do you plant one corn and get one corn? Or do you want increase? That is your expectation, is increase. God's expectation is always about increase. God is about the plus, not about the minus. God's kingdom, the whole law that God set in Genesis, in the natural and in the spiritual, is about increase, hope. He says, "I've got a future for you and a hope." I got news for you. I am not through growing yet. I'm almost 57 years old and I'm not through growing yet. Whoever told you that when you got 50, 60, 70, that you're just supposed to get old and die? I want to go out kicking. I want to go out growing. I want to go out doing something for God. I want to go out accomplishing something. I've been around some men that have gotten old. And you know what? They died with their boots on. They died with the Word of God. Still preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. Retire? You never retire from being a believer. You never retire from working for the kingdom of God. We got to get outside of our boxes. God's got good things for us. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Jesus says, "I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Are you living in abundance today? You haven't reached it all yet. There's more abundance out there. There's better things out there for you. God's got other things than what's going on now. Number two, God does not box you in. God doesn't build your box. Guess what? Your small thinking is the thing that builds the boxes in your life. But it takes faith in God's Word to bust you out. You can't help what's happened to you in your life. And a lot of times our circumstances and our situations and our upbringing gives us opportunity to think small. But nobody made you quit. Nobody made you be what you are today. You had to make some choices, good or bad, to be where you are today. We need to get outside the boxes that have confined us. We need to get into a place where we can think larger because God wants to do bigger things in our life. He didn't put us in the box, but it's going to take faith to get us out of the box. Jesus said in John 8:31-2, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Now what's the key there? Abide. You know what abide means? It means you have an abode. You know what an abode is? My abode is 501 Sweet Gum Road. That's where I abode at. That's where I live. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow. How are we going to get out of our boxes? We're going to have to allow the Word to abide in us. The Word gives us a hope beyond anywhere we are right now. Well, I'm just waiting to die. You small thinker. I'm just waiting to retire. I'm just hoping that I can, you know, it's so meager and so little. We need to get to where we can think big. Big, 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 big. Because the Word projects something big for us. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, "He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." You know where small thinking gets you? Defeated. I said defeated. Defeated. But you know what the Word will do? It'll heal you and set you free. Number three, to change small living, you must start by changing small thinking. To change small living, because there's a lot of us today that are living small. And in some way, all of us are living so far beneath what we should be living for God. We're not producing everything that we need to be producing for God. So in that sense, all of us have limitations in our lives. So if we're going to change small living, we are going to have to start by changing small thinking. Now let me give you a definition of small living. The unwillingness to change. The unwillingness to change. There's several things that we had to do as a church to be where we are today. Number one, we had to change locations. We were in a little bitty place on the other side of town that would seat probably about what this section right here seats. About 100, 120. I mean, it was you know, it served a purpose, but it was not the kind of building you can grow in. The bathrooms opened up into the sanctuary. Can you no, don't imagine. It was bad. For the kids to go to their classes, they had to come across the platform. It was a terrible setup. It was little. It was little. For us to grow, it wasn't a great location. For us to begin to grow, we had to take a step of faith and say, okay, we're going to build a church. And we built this building, not the back part, just this part. And it took a step of faith. We had to make a change. We went from having a zero building payment, and I like zero building payments. And all of a sudden we had $2,600 building payment. Now it's $4,800 building payment. But we went from that to a change. And there are some decisions that we have to make in our life to make changes. And all of those changes are not comfortable changes that we need to make. This church is in an evolution. We're evolving into a different kind of church. We're evolving from a small church into a larger church. We're not a large church by any stretch of the imagination. You don't go to a big church, go to Joel Osteen's. You know what Joel Osteen says? If you want to go to a big church, go to Yonggi Cho's church. Yonggi Cho has 650,000 people in his church. World's largest church, I think. Osteen has the largest one in the United States, 47,000. So it's all relative. But as we grow, we have to change our thinking about the way that we do things. And if we're going to grow, we have to be willing to make changes. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck in small living. We have to change our philosophy about, not our doctrine, but our philosophy about our traditions and the way that we've done things. That's the way we've always done it. And, you know, that's the way I like it. I like it the old way. You always have to be in a state of change if you're going to enlarge your living. Because you're not anywhere close to where you need to be where your life is concerned. God wants to bless you in your business. He wants to bless you in your family. He wants to bless us as a church. He wants to bless us in so many ways. But in order to do that, we cannot stay the same. Small thinking equals small living. Small living is an unwillingness to change. Well, I'm willing to change. I don't know about you, but I'm changing. I'm changing my small thing. I'm stretching my brain. I'm stretching my heart so that we can change. 2 Corinthians 6:11. This is in the Message Bible. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. I want to say that again. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open your lives. Live openly and expansively. Be willing to take a risk, to take a dare, to step out. We have to be willing to do that. Okay, the next one, number 4. Make a decision. Everybody say a decision. Make a decision to live large. Do you notice how that all of this change comes back to you? It didn't come back to God. It comes back to you. God says, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and more abundantly. But you can restrict that if you want to. You can restrict that if you want to. Or you can say, okay, Jesus, I'm up for the ride. Let's go. And if you'll do that, He'll show Himself to you. It's amazing. So make the decision to live large. I love this. because this hits me right where I have been in my life. I lived with an inferiority complex, a bad, painful inferiority complex. I had to overcome it, and I did through the Word of God. And I am overcoming it through the Word of God. Sometimes I get in a situation and I run into that again, but it's on a much higher level. And when I do, it makes me mad because I don't. That's not who I am. And I don't want to be that way anymore. Inferiority will cripple you and will cripple your spiritual growth. It'll keep you from being what you're supposed to be. Inferiority. And there's a lot of Christians who have that. But here's some verses that I used. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children." Listen to that. You are of God. He's talking to believers. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." What's them? Well, whatever it is that's in your way. "Because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." You know why He's in you? To put you over your circumstances and situations and the things that hinder your life. You need to wrap your head around that. You need to wrap your heart around that. You need to lay in bed at night and think about that. And you're going to begin to see yourself in a different light. Amen? Ooh, I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. But that's all right. I'm excited anyway. I don't need you to be excited today. I'm pumped. Ephesians 6:10, Amplified Bible. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. How are we empowered? Through our union with Him. You know, me by myself, I'm not anything. I'm just a man. But when I become empowered with Him, His power enhances what He has put in me and called me to do and makes up the difference. And I got to think that. I got to get an understanding of that. I've got to get a revelation of that. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which is boundless, His boundless might provides. Is God limited? Guess what? If you are in union with Him, you're only limited by Him, by yourself. Ooh. Do we want to live with the limits off? That scares me. I know. And that's one of the things that holds us back. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, He doesn't ask us to do anything in ourselves. It's through our relationship with Him. And that's why it's so important to have a real, authentic relationship with the Lord. Romans 8:37, "Yet in all these things," it's talking about life and death and persecutions and trials and tests and boo and all the crud that's out there. It says, "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors." Say, more than conquerors. "We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us." You know the first thing I see in that? First of all, that He loves me. That means if He loves me, He's for me. And I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. While you were out there doing all of your crud, He still loved you. While you were out there jacking around and messing around and being anything but a Christian, He loved you. And the great thing is, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, it's where you are right now. Because He can take anything and turn it around. You know, your moany, the things that you moan about, it can become a testimony. And your mess can become your message. Isn't that great? You can't mess up bigger than God can fix up. So if you mess up, fess up. I believe I could do a rap to that. Okay? Oh, me. Say, preach, brother. Number five, determined to bust out. I am determined for this church to bust out. You say, you talk about this church a lot. This church is my passion. My relationship with God, my relationship with my family, and my relationship with this church is my passion. Anything else in my life comes way after that. I had rather be with believers, and we're believers here. I'd rather be with believers than anybody in the world, except my family. And I'd rather be with God than my family. That's the way it ought to be. This is my passion. This is what I think about all the time. And I'm thinking, Lord, what can we do to be more effective? What can we do to become the church that you want? See, we live in a very backward area. I don't know if you know that or not. We're not cutting edge in Batesville, Arkansas, and Independence County. This is not cutting edge living. This is backward in lots of ways. And I don't say that to talk about ugly, because I are one, okay? We're here. I went to Life Church of Memphis, and I got my eyes opened about some stuff. And think, oh, that offends me. Good. Sometimes we need to be offended so that we'll change. I know some preachers that really need to be offended. I mean really offended, because they really need to change. And I've been offended before. But I'm going to be smart enough that I know that when I get offended about something, first place I'm going to look is at me. Not at the thing that offends me. And if I'm looking at me and thinking, well, I don't like that. Well, why? What's wrong with it? Is it unscriptural? Or does it just go against my comfort zone? If it goes against my comfort zone, then I need to make some changes. So I've got to determine that I'm going to bust out. I'm busting out. Anybody busting with me? Oh, y'all. Oh, that's... Y'all weak? Come on! Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, say comprehend, with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Whoo! Son, that's powerful. That's potent. Have we been thinking too little? Don't you think we need to wrap our heads around some stuff that'll change the way that we think? And I'm talking about the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the Word of God. The Bible is not a restrictive book. It's one that will explode in you and cause you to be what you need to be. Number six. Then we're going to close. Dare to believe God. Dare to believe God. Live big. Dare. Isn't that profound? Dare to believe God. You know what one of our big problems is in the church world? We don't believe that God really meant what He said. Yeah, I know He said that, but He didn't understand my... Oh, no. Dare to believe God. I love the old saying, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm not sure we're there about everything yet, but we can be. I want to live life large. I want you to live large. I want you to live large in your business, your ministry, your family. I want you to live large in your family. I want to see your family life honor God. I want to see every part of your life bring honor and glory to God. You know what? Uh-oh. Do I have to say that? You sure? Okay. I'm going to close with this. You know what one of our biggest problems is? Take your finger. Touch it right here. Selfishness. Selfishness. Well, that's not what I. It's not about me. You know what? It'd be a whole lot easier for me if we just go back to the old way. I wouldn't have to do near as much as I have to do now. But that's so selfish. I love preaching. I hope you can. I like it. Ooh, I could do it all day. Say, I know, brother, I know. But this church exists for you and for the person that's not yet here yet. That person that's still out there searching and looking and hungry, this church exists for that. It's not all about Tony. But I wonder, Tony, who's supposed to sit in this seat, and this seat, and this seat, and this seat, and this seat? There's only one. I mean, Tony's the only one on this row. There's five people that are missing from that row. We exist for that too. So we got to be the kind of people that when those people come through our doors, that we love them unconditionally. And y'all are pretty good at that. That don't mean we need to quit where we're at. Some of us have been unlovely, haven't we? There's a lot of people that need love to be accepted. What, you know what scares me sometimes? There's a lot of people really don't care what a church teaches. That's scary. Because it is important what you teach. But they just want to know that somebody will love them. Well, let's do both. Let's teach the right things and let's love people. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.